Welcome to the Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm Sherry Davidson.
And I'm Candace Rogers. This is our quaint, warm space where we will share our passion for well-being and explore everyday living in health, wellness, and design to help you thrive in your life.
Welcome to the Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm Sherry Davidson, licensed acupuncturist, integrative health and wellness coach, and former interior designer.
And I'm Candace Rogers. I'm an interior designer, and I'm also a wellness designer. And today we have episode number 8, and we're talking all about habits on the episode today.
And I think that's perfect timing.
Yeah, it is for the first of the year for 2021.
This is our first podcast of 2021.
Wow.
And super exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you do for New Year's?
Well, I probably did what a lot of people did. I just hung out at home, ate, fell asleep before the ball dropped on East Coast time, woke up, celebrated the ball dropping on East Coast time, and then celebrated the ball dropping on Central time. And that was basically it.
You guys had a nice dinner.
Yeah, well,
was that New Year's Eve?
Well, New Year's Eve, we just kind of like, we ate like smoked salmon and stuff like that. But then on New Year's Day is when I always make my traditional low country, because I'm from South Carolina, low country dish, which is Hoppin' John, which is for good luck, which is black-eyed peas and rice. I make collards, and then I also make shrimp and sausage gumbo, cornbread. It was delicious. I make it every year, and this year I was kind of like, you know, we had so much to eat at Christmas, so I'm not going to make the gumbo. And then I was like, what? No, I'm making the gumbo. I can't go a whole year without gumbo. I only make it one time a year. So anyways, we had the gumbo. It was delicious. But now I've got all that eating behind me, and I'm ready to start my healthy habits with eating. Well, I'm trying.
Well, do you know that 57% of a survey that I read of people do not make New Year's resolutions anymore?
Well, I'm not a New Year's resolution person.
No,
I am not. I do not make New Year's resolutions.
I don't know if I make New Year's resolutions, but I do think that New Year's, like, it's my favorite holiday. And I think that, you know, a year is just a good time frame to reflect and to set new goals and to achieve new goals and to put things behind you, right? Like, I think year 2020, we all went through this experience, and you know it's not going to be a flip of a switch, right? You know, once that new year gets here, it's not a switch where everything goes back to normal.
Right.
But at least you can mentally put that a closure on a cap on it, you know, and that I'm going to move forward.
Yeah. And that's basically, normally I'm not a New Year's resolution person, but this year I am. Like, I really, this year I was like, I have all these things that I want to accomplish and things that I want to do, and just some, you know, I want to work out more. I want to eat healthier, because I just feel like, probably like with everyone else, with being inside and not being able to go to the gym as much, I'm riding my bike and stuff, but I just feel like I'm not getting that regular exercise like I always did, because I used to work out every night at the gym. And I haven't really done that, you know, since gyms shut down. Now they're reopened, but I haven't gone back. I put my membership on hold. So now I'm like, okay, I have to come up with a new routine. So I guess it's more about like, okay, this is 2021. You're going to set up your new routines. You're going to set up your new habits. You're going to, hopefully they become habits.
Right.
And get this year going, you know?
Yeah. Well, in the same survey, 59% of the people who took that survey wanted to exercise more.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. That was the number one.
Well, I guess that's why the gym memberships and all the gym equipment. And now I'm seeing the Peloton commercials, why those all start, you
the
know.
The Mira, have you seen? Yeah, that. I've heard some people have purchased that. They like it. So yeah, I think it's a great time to talk about habits. And I think that it's a great time, not just because of the new year, but because of the year we just had. And the way to make sustainable change is to change your habits.
Right. And I think too, because we were kind of just thrown off of our schedules. We were thrown off of our routines, I think, and things are not the same as they were.
Yeah.
And they're probably not going to be the same, mm-hmm. at least for a long time, mm-hmm. or things are going to be changed in a different way. Mm-hmm. So I think that people are looking to set up new routines for this new way, and also create new routines, maybe tweak some of the ones that they had. But mm-hmm. I think everybody's life is a little bit different now.
Yeah.
So you're living your life differently. And so you can't operate the same way that you were
True.
Before the pandemic. So yeah. it's like, we all have to shift a little bit now. So yeah, yeah. I know I'm looking to do that. And
so what's your number one? Is it, would it be exercising?
I think my number one, I have a lot of things on my list, actually. I mean, exercising is a big one. Also eating healthier. Sherry knows this, but I was dabbling with plant-based eating, and I did it for like a couple of months.
Yeah.
And then I started incorporating back in with meat protein. But I want to go back to eating less meat.
Yeah.
I'm not going to completely wipe it out, but I want to do less meat, more plant-based, still get in certain types of meat protein, you know, like organic chicken or eggs and stuff like that. I just want to start treating my body better, I guess is the way to put it. And then also I have some other tasks around the house that I've been putting off. Like I have a bunch of clothes that mm-hmm. I need to take to Goodwill or sell or something like that. And I just need to get all that out of the way. So
exercise, diet, and I don't even really like the word diet. Let's say nutrition.
Yeah, I don't like to call it diet because to me that's a negative word. It has a negative stigma to it.
Yeah.
So I always like to say I'm trying to just eat healthier.
Yeah. Yeah, and we both own our own businesses. So that's a whole other set of goals and...
Oh, yeah. Well, those are just my personal, like, those are personal. Like, I also have all the other business goals and stuff like that, that I've set up. And our podcast goals.
We're busy women.
Yeah, we have a lot going on.
But
it's all good and fun. And I mean, I'm grateful for, I'm actually grateful for some of the things that happened this year, even though a lot of unfortunate things did happen. I'm also grateful for certain things too. And one of the things that I'm grateful, really grateful for is my health and that we're here. So
I agree. I feel very thankful for my health, and I feel very thankful for the podcast. I mean, this was something really good that came out of, and I think we've mentioned this before on other episodes. I think this is something definitely really good that came out of it.
Yes.
You know, I've some good things with my business is I'm pivoting and shifting a little bit. And as you know, I just moved everything back in my clinic today.
That's right.
And then darted over here to do the episode. And so I'm super excited about, you know, giving my clinic a refreshed look.
Yeah, and we talked about doing a redesign of your clinic, mm-hmm. like doing it in a biophilic design.
Yeah. So I'm super excited. You know, it's going to have to happen in pieces, but mm-hmm. I'm super excited about it. I mean, I've got the windows for it that look out on that courtyard.
Oh, yeah.
So might as well take advantage of it. So I need a new sign. So, you know, I showed you the sign with the
moss,
the preserved moss. Yes. So hopefully we can roll out some of those pictures as we get it done.
Yeah, we'll do it in little phases and post some progress and
Before and after. I've got
to take a bunch of before pictures.
I have some pictures from before, but I did take that video. Didn't I show that to you? When it was completely empty, all painted?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's when it was painted.
Okay.
And now I'm trying to get everything kind of back mm-hmm. in there. And mm-hmm. I was, you know, today when my parents were there, I was trying to be really thoughtful of, you know, they're like, where do you want this? And where do you want this? And where do you want this? And I'm trying to think, okay, so I eventually don't want that. So maybe I should put that at the front. You know, and I'm trying to think about all those things because they were really heavy pieces, like the file cabinets,
uh-huh.
which I'm trying to phase out because I don't use, you know, we don't use files anymore.
Yeah, we're electronic.
We're all electronic.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, but I have to keep files for so long, for like seven years. So I'm trying, like once all those files go away, then the file cabinets will go away. So, you know, but it's looking really good. So you'll have to come by and check it out.
Oh yeah, I will.
We got some work to do. Okay, so back to habits. And that was just kind of how our new year started. So starting fresh. So let's talk about habits. Habits.
Habits. Yeah. So I have been super into this book.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people have probably read this book too, but it was recommended to me by a friend. It's called Atomic Habits and it's by James Clear. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the stuff that I'll probably be talking about does refer back to things that he talks about in his book. I also, The Aesthetics of Joy is by Ingrid Fattel Lee. She did a TED Talk. Mm-hmm. And so she talks a lot about how your environment should be joyful. Mm-hmm. So I referred a lot to her too. And then also another kind of reference that I've been looking at when we were talking about habits and stuff is The Home Edit, which is a group of women that have a business, an organizing business, and they have a Netflix show. And they're super fun.
Yeah.
And they make organizing. They mix it with like interior design and decorating, and it just looks really beautiful when they're done. And so that's a reference that I was researching too, talking about habits. If we want to talk about environment and our habits, Sherry and I were discussing this nudge psychology where in marketing, they place merchandise in certain areas so that people will make those choices. Mm-hmm. They maybe will put things at eye level or they put things on end caps. And then people, because it's a high traffic area or it's in your eye level, people just automatically make those choices. And so when we're talking about habits, one of the things that you can do in your environment is you can do the same thing.
Yeah.
You can place things in a way, like in your refrigerator, you can place things at eye level. Mm-hmm. You can put them in clear bins so that you see those things and you're making those choices. Mm-hmm. So that can be something that supports your habits. Mm-hmm. But in Atomic Habits, one of the things they talk about is not really making these like huge goals. Like, for instance, if I want to lose weight, let's say I want to lose 20 pounds and my goal is to lose 20 pounds. They say basically don't focus on the end goal, but really focus on the process. So the process is the healthy eating and I guess every day making healthy choices, and then automatically the goal will come. Right. If you make these healthy choices every day.
Right.
And so really you just have to make little small choices. They don't even have to be these big shifts or changes. Mm-hmm. They could be little tiny habits that you start creating. A habit that I just started doing for myself, I wasn't very good about making my bed in the morning. Mm-hmm. And so I told myself, no, you're going to get out of, I used to make my bed all the time. And then I don't know what happened. I got so busy. One thing I stopped doing. I decided that I was going to start making my bed every single morning again. And it's like starts my day off in the right direction. It's one little thing that I started, and that compounds on top of me wanting to then be tidier or neater. Mm-hmm. With interior design, if you want to make your bed in the morning, my advice to that is to make it simple. Yeah. Don't have like a lot of coverings or throw pillows or you're going to make it difficult for yourself and you're not going to want to make your bed. So I say make it easy. I say get a duvet cover, get just a couple of throw pillows, maybe even get like one rectangular pillow, a couple of shams, and just make your bed and do it first thing in the morning. And then you start your day off right.
Yeah, there's actually some science behind that and research. I can't recall it, but there's some science and research behind why starting your day with making your bed.
Really?
There's some science and research behind it. And also there is a famous, not person, but he was in the service and he did a talk, and I think it was to students. Uh-huh. And it went viral.
Was it like a TED Talk?
No, it wasn't a TED Talk. He was a man in the service, and I think he was pretty high up. I wish I could remember his name, but it's a YouTube video, and he did this. I think it was probably to like graduating seniors or something.
Okay.
And he talked about making the bed. It went viral. But there is some psychology behind that and some science behind it.
I believe it because it makes me, it at least makes me feel like I've accomplished something like right away.
Yeah.
And it looks nice. Like especially even when I go to bed at night, I look and my bed looks nice. It's nice and made.
It's visual. Visually.
And
especially being designers, like we like to see things that are all.
And it used to drive me nuts when I didn't make my bed, but I would be so busy. I would, Because the first thing I would do in the morning was get up, go downstairs, make coffee, and then I would start getting ready, and then I would get too busy, and then I didn't have time to make my bed. Well, now I'm like, no, you're going to do it as soon as you stand up, you're going to make your bed, and then you're going to go make your coffee. And that's my new thing that I've been doing for a little while.
It's nice.
Yeah, it makes me feel good.
I don't do it. And I don't, and I'll tell you why.
Why? Because you're going to get right back in it.
No, because I blame it on Finn. He sleeps in the bed, and he's never up.
Oh, okay. Well, that's okay.
He doesn't get up until we leave.
And that's so cute.
Yeah. And so I don't. And then if I try, I can take him off the bed, but then he looks at me like he's done something wrong.
Oh.
And so I'm like, okay. I mean, it's a really bad excuse, but.
That's funny. No, that's a good excuse. I don't have that excuse. So.
Yeah. So, but no, I think that's really awesome. And I was going to back up and say something. Oh, I think it was you were talking about the making the small changes, small steps towards something is really good.
Mm-hmm.
A lot when I do a lot of coaching, everybody's different. You know, like some people, most people are very comfortable with small changes, but you have some people that want that big ultimate goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like say somebody who wants to do an Ironman,
you
know, like it's, but the process is very important,
mm-hmm.
but you have some people in coaching where they feel challenged by things where some people feel most people would feel overwhelmed by those things.
Right.
And so when I coach somebody, I have to find out what type of person that they are. Most of the time it's a small change, you know, and you'll have people like in that, we'll just say in the Ironman world, a lot of people choose to do an Ironman because they're overweight.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's very, if you get on any of the Facebook pages, any of the groups, you'll have a lot of people who have struggled with weight problems and then they set this huge goal for themselves. They accomplish it. And then they start doing Ironmans. I mean, I could pull some up on Instagram.
That's the difference. Big goal in Ironman.
It is. It's huge. Now they're a very small percentage, right? But that was what excited them that they could do this thing, and it kept them through that process because it's a long process.
I think whatever it is that is going to excite you, or even the big goal like overwhelms you, and then little goals or little habits or just little. Changes, whatever works for you, I think is what you have to figure out, because then you're gonna keep it going.
You'll keep it going, right? Because some people, if they don't feel challenged, then it's like they're kind of like whatever. But that's a very, I think the percentage of the small changes works best for most people, probably. 70.
And maybe some people, because if they're doing something small changes, they don't really see the big change, and maybe that doesn't motivate them. Maybe they get frustrated because it's not happening soon enough.
Fast enough.
So right. I could see that being problematic too. So
I guess it just depends on
your personality and what you want to achieve. And
And knowing that, you know, and asking yourself those questions, right?
That's
like what is, if I'm going to try and make this change, is this change realistic for me? You know, and some people set goals way too big, or say somebody is a night owl and they want to create a habit of getting up at 4:30 a.m. every single morning to work out. Like, okay, well, is that, you know, and this person's just naturally a night owl. Like, okay, is that realistic for you? You know, because if you set that goal, you're more likely or trying to make that a habit, you're going to fail. Because
you have to figure out when you're going to be successful, when you're going to have the most success.
Yeah.
And then set your goal or your habit or whatever it is you want to do around that. Because, like, I am not a morning person. I know I can't exercise in the morning.
Yeah. So but you know that about yourself.
Yeah, so I don't. I know. And people said, oh, you just have to start doing it and then you'll get used to it. I have tried like so many times and I don't get used to it and I dread it and regret it. And I'm like thinking of every excuse in the book, like
not to do it.
Okay. Well, I can just say that I have a scratchy throat
but a lot of people give up, right?
Yeah.
Like that's where a lot of people give up. And what they need to ask themselves is they need to ask those questions like, okay, maybe that's not a realistic time for me, but maybe this other time is. Maybe maybe it doesn't fit with what everybody else does, but it works for you. And and that's when you start creating that positive change and lasting change.
And that's totally true because like for me, I was working out at night. Mm-hmm. I was getting to the gym after 7 o'clock.
Wow.
And that was the best time for me. Yeah. And I was going every single night. I was energized. I was doing mm-hmm. my workout, and then I would come home, and then I would wind down for a little bit and get ready for bed. But that worked for me.
Yeah. So, and that's, you know, when mm-hmm. when I work with people in the wellness coaching, we'll set goals, and they'll come back and go, okay, that did not work for me at all. Okay, well, let's figure something else out, right? So
it doesn't mean you have to give up. It just means that you just have to change things around and figure out what's going to work for you.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's how you get habits to stick, right? Because habits is doing something over and over again.
A routine.
It's a routine, and it's, you have these behaviors like driving a car. There's a reason for habits, right? But they're also unconscious. But habits are automatic, and you don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
But in order to make that habit, you have to repeat it over and over. And there are different, I know some people say like 21 days or 30 days or 3 months.
I've heard the 21 days a lot.
It's all over the place.
I don't even know who came up with that, but
I'm not sure either. But I know that there 21 days, I've heard 30, I've heard 3 months, you know, I think, but again, that's probably the person, right? It's the person who is trying to change the habit. Like maybe they do it faster, you know, maybe it's a more exciting goal and they're able to do that.
Right.
But the interesting thing about habits is they do live in our unconsciousness, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. so you don't have to worry about how to drive a car all the time. So it's just you just do it. You turn it.
Like tying your shoes. Like it's tying automatic. Your shoe. But, it's automatic. But when we were little, we didn't know how to tie our shoes. We had to learn. So. Right.
And so it becomes automatic. Mm-hmm. But you store those in your, and a lot of our behaviors and habits are learned. Mm-hmm. They're all learned, but the ones that we can't get rid of or mm-hmm. from our childhood. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But they live in our subconscious. The only way to change them is to become conscious of them, right?
Right.
And so I know you and I have talked about this, is the mindfulness practice of being very, you have to be aware and mindful that this is what's happening in order for you to be able to change some things, right? I mean, you can set a goal and say, you know, I want to run a 5K. But and then you have to figure out the process, right? That's the goal. And then what you were just talking about, the process, right? Mm-hmm. But then you have to become aware of what you're doing so you can make changes in those habits, right?
Right.
Or know that you're a night owl and
that
working out at 4:30 in the morning is not going to be
make things easier for yourself. Like, let's say, like I think about with vitamins. Mm-hmm. I was always forgetting to take my supplements. And so what I did was I put them all out. Of course, they're, you know, by height and everything.
That's the designer in you.
A little OCD going on with the designer thing. But and I've also been thinking, like, I need to find some decorative bottles to put these or something more decorative. I'm still thinking about how to do this with my supplements. But I have them all lined up next to my sink because when I see them in the morning, and some of them I take in the morning and at night, mm-hmm. then I automatically take them. But when I was putting them in the cabinet, I wasn't taking them because I wasn't seeing them and I was forgetting about them.
Yeah.
And then by the time I remembered, I was in my car or something already. So I just have them all sitting out. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I want to do is figure out how to make that a little bit more attractive. You know, whether it's like some kind of a basket or I don't know what I need to do. I haven't figured it out yet. Or like some kind of decorative containers with labels or something.
So I have an idea.
What?
I got it today.
What?
Well, so I was Soledad. She, I was talking to her today and somebody sent her, I think her mom, I can't remember where her mom lives, not Ecuador. Anyways, her mom sent her some herbs.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, come here, I want to show you this. Because obviously I would be interested. And it's for the immune system. And it's from the Amazon. And she pulled out the bottle and they were gold.
Ooh.
So there's your solution. You got to find the right vitamins.
Oh. And put them in. I got to have like metallic vitamins, pretty colors, like the rainbow colors or something. gold, silver, so rose gold.
There's a solution.
Okay.
They were beautiful. I was like, whoa.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out, because yeah. these vitamin bottles obviously are not attractive. They're just sitting there, but I need to have them there because if I don't put them there, I'm not going to take them. So that has been one thing that I've been trying to figure out. I'm like, I think I'm going to just find some decorative bottles and label them and then just transfer them to those. And so they'll look a little bit better.
And then, not only that, you'll want to take them because they're in beautifully displayed, and it's like
eating. I'll put some kind of metallic paint on the bottles. I'll do something fancy on them and make them real pretty.
You have a paint party.
Yeah. Okay, Sherry, you're going to help me.
Let's do it.
Get out the bedazzler.
Let's do it. You have a, is it a, what is it called?
A Cricut.
How do you spell it?
Well, it's like Cricut or something, the way it's spelled. It's like C-R-I-C-U-I-T, but it's Cricut.
That's how you say it.
Yeah, you say Cricut.
Okay.
I haven't really mastered the Cricut yet, but when I do, I'm going to label those bottles and make them like really pretty. And then maybe we'll post a picture of that too.
Let's do it.
If I get around to it. We'll see. A lot on my list right now.
We have a lot. We both have a lot.
But, you know, speaking about that, when we were talking about people obviously are going to have different goals or different habits that they're going to want to create. And, you know, we've come up with some that we think are ones that we want to talk about. And we think that people are wanting to incorporate in their life. And there are things like meditation, better sleep, eating healthy, decluttering, things like that. But talking about, let's say, meditation, if you're wanting to meditate or start meditating, a good way to help support you in that and make things easier is to go ahead and set up a space and make it really nice. Like, make it pretty. Make it so you want to go to that space. You know, in the book Atomic Habits, it talks a lot about setting up certain rooms for activities. Let's say you have a meditation room, or you have a fitness room, or you have a dedicated office. If you can set up those spaces for those activities, you'll be more likely just to do that activity in that space. And then, like, your kitchen is your activity where you cook, your bedroom is where you sleep, so that when you go to sleep, your bedroom, it reminds you, like, oh, I'm going to wind down. Now I'm going to go to sleep. But a lot of people might not have enough space for that.
Yeah.
So the other thing that people can do is to make zones, like dedicated activity zones. So you could, like in your bedroom, you could create like a nice corner for reading and relaxation. You could have a nice side table. You could, you know, put your tea on the table before you go to bed. You could put your favorite book on the table, have a nice lamp, have a nice throw. And then you could even, beside that, you could set up like a very nice meditation area where you have a cushion. Maybe you have one of those small meditation tables. I ordered one off of Etsy when I did the wellness studio in Maryland. And we ordered this all wood, handmade meditation table. It's so cute. Nice. You can get it off of Etsy. But I think just making the space nice and make that space for that activity, I think that you're going to want to go and meditate.
No, I agree. And I do agree, too, that if you don't have a space to do that, just carving out a corner, like you said.
An activity zone.
Yeah. And just saying that this is... And especially with meditation, because that's a very formal meditation when you sit like that. But it's also a very sacred place as well. So I think having it be sacred is also that there's a psychological effect that it has. And so I really like that a lot. And, you know, I love talking about meditation.
Right. I know. We're going to do a whole episode on meditation.
I do want to say one thing, though, about the meditation and habits. One thing that and mindful meditation, you know, there's a lot of different types of meditation. But mindful meditation, I think, is a great practice when you're trying to change your habits. One, so you can...
That's true.
So you can see, you kind of become an observer of yourself. And you can see why you're having a hard time making a change, right? Like, it's great Yeah, like I said, the guy, like, let's talk about the guy that wants to wake up at 4:30 a.m. to wake up, I mean, to work out, but is a night owl, right? Like, if that's not a very, that's not mindful, right? If you're mindful about, yes, I am a night owl, I'm okay being a night owl, I don't want to change that part about me, then I can't wake up in the morning, right? That's a very mindful thought process, right? Is to be observant of your behaviors so you can change them.
Right.
The other thing I really like about mindful meditation is that it's a great practice that puts you in the present moment. And when you're in the present moment, your subconscious mind is not running the show, right? And so when your subconscious mind is running the show, and that's where all your habits live, and you're too busy thinking and doing other things, and you're falling back into those old habits, right? So you have to become very present. And also, that's where creativity lies.
Yes.
So for people like you and me, you know, and that's why Steve Jobs always wore black turtlenecks. So he didn't have to think about those things, right?
It was, that was really smart.
It's very smart.
I wish I could be like that, but I can't.
I can't either. But it is. It's very simple. It's a simple habit.
I don't look good in turtlenecks. But.
I don't either. But you know, but the present moment is where everything happens, right? And so you can be more creative, but you're also not letting your subconscious drive the show all the time. You know, like 43% of our behaviors are in our subconscious. That's almost half.
Yeah, that's totally true. And speaking about that with the subconscious, like, I don't think we realize how much we are on automatic pilot.
Exactly.
Like you said, with our choices and things like that, like how much of it is automatic.
Mm-hmm.
And if we really start thinking about the choices that we're making and the routines that we have, we can control that.
We can.
We can actually control it. It doesn't have to control us. The choices at the grocery store don't have to control us. If we're mindful of the fact that we know that they're putting these things, the most expensive things, that they're putting those at eye level, or they're putting those on end caps, and we can make the conscious decision of being like, no, I'm going to look at the shelf above or below.
Yeah. That it might not necessarily be quality, right? It's just the higher price.
It's the higher price.
Yeah.
Because people do pay for those spaces, which I just learned recently too.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I never thought about that.
I only knew that because I had some friends in Austin that got some product.
Oh, okay.
And I think, and I watched Shark Tank.
Oh, okay. I love Shark Tank. Yeah, that's a good show.
Oh my gosh.
But, you know, just like we were talking about, there was a study that this hospital, I think it was in Massachusetts, one of the people there that was in charge of the staff, and they decided that they wanted the staff and the visitors to make healthier choices in the cafeteria. And this is also in the book Atomic Habits. They didn't take away anything. What they did was, for instance, they wanted people to drink more water. Where the refrigerator was that had just sodas in it, they replaced half of it or most of it with water, or the same amount. So half sodas, half water. And then they placed water around every register, and anywhere there was a drink station, they made a water option. And I think in like 3 months, the water bottle consumption went up by like 25%, and the soda consumption went down by like, I don't know, anywhere from like 11 to 14%. And that's just placing things in a certain area. And so if you know, it got me thinking, I'm like, if you do that around your home, and I was just showing you before we started talking, I'm obsessed with this swirl water pitcher.
I know, it's beautiful.
You can put it on your counter. And I was thinking, because another goal is to drink more water. I don't drink enough. I go through phases where I drink plenty of water and then I just don't do it. I was thinking if I had one in my bathroom and I had one in the kitchen, that I would drink more water. And it swirls around and it oxygenates the water. It makes it taste better, but it's also really pretty.
It is pretty. I know. So you're going to get it and then I'm going to try
it. Yeah. And then you're going to want it.
I'll want it.
But I was thinking that that would be a great way just to make me want to drink more water. And then even I have a bowl on the top of the counter in the kitchen, and just filling that with fruits and avocados and help, even like little healthy snacks, like bars or whatever it is, like healthier choices, just filling that up instead of placing like cookies and stuff like that around, people are going to automatically reach for the orange or the apple or the healthy snack instead of, you know, there's a cookie there, so I'm going to get that.
No,
so I think, yeah, placing stuff around is super helpful. And yes, I'm going to be filling my bowl in the kitchen with fruits. That's one of my new things. So.
Okay. I like it.
And it looks pretty.
It's colorful.
Yeah. It's colorful. It can be decoration.
I like it. Good goals. So the goal is to change habits.
Yes.
I think that's a good goal.
To help yourself. Don't make it hard on yourself. Try to make it easy.
Convenient.
You
know,
try to make it convenient and easy. Another one of the things that we're going to be talking about on another episode, we're going to do a whole episode on decluttering and organization.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That can help you too.
Yeah.
Because if you aren't overwhelmed with all the stuff and you can find things easily, then you can, you know, have that area that's for exercise or for meditation, and it's not cluttered up with toys or something like
right,
that.
Right.
Or your pantry.
Yeah.
You can fill that with organized, healthy items that are easy to reach and get to instead of it being like a cluttered mess.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I agree. You know, in feng shui, it's always in like January or February, they use the moon. It's their new year. And one of the things you're supposed to do is do a deep cleaning and clear out all your clutter in your whole house before New Year's.
Maybe that's why I'm always like, I feel like I go into this decluttering phase, like right before the new year or right after the new year. I'm just like getting rid of stuff.
Yep.
I have this rule where for everything that I buy, like if there's something in my closet, for instance, because my closet can get kind of overwhelmed. I like clothes and shoes and other things too. But for everything that I buy, like one thing has to go.
Yeah. I think that's a good habit.
Yeah. It's one in, one out. I mean, sometimes I do more than one out.
Yeah.
But one thing cannot go in unless something is going out.
Well, I don't have that problem because my closets are incredibly small.
Well, the bigger the closet, and the more stuff you keep. So
right. And
you just hold on to it.
I love small spaces. That's just, I've always been that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I can pack some stuff in.
That's good and organized.
I can pack it in, but there's only so much my closets will hold. So I have to get rid of stuff.
That's good though, because like I said, if you have a big closet,
you fill it up.
You just keep filling it up and you don't need to get rid of stuff. You know, I mean, like I have shoes in my closet that I haven't worn in several years.
Yeah.
So, and I have all these like high heels and stuff that I don't really wear those anymore.
Do you ever listen to the Minimalist podcast?
I do.
They're really good. I really enjoy their podcast.
But you know what will really get you in the mood to declutter is to watch Hoarders on TV. Every time I watch that, I'm like, oh my God, I gotta get rid of stuff.
That's a mental, that's a disorder.
I know, but when I watch it,
it makes you,
I was a little fascinated by the whole thing, but it makes me want to clean and get rid of stuff. That's what it makes me want to do. Yeah.
I watch it because I find it interesting from the psychology, they're mental disorders. And it's really a tough disorder. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I know it's a pretty tough one.
Yeah. And I think too, you have an object and that object becomes something that has more of an emotional attachment to it, which I mean, I get it because I have an emotional attachment to some things and I'm like, why am I holding on to this concert t-shirt from like 1990 that I've never worn and I'm not going to wear? Why do I still have this? You know?
Yeah. There's some,
it has an emotional attachment to it.
I get emotionally attached to my things, you know, like I'm so emotionally attached. I get emotionally attached to my car. I get emotionally attached. Like some of the furniture I have in my space has been there. I mean, it's my original furniture that I had when I moved out of my parents'
house.
I love it. Like, and I still love it.
Well, but if it's good quality, furniture, then there's no reason why you need to be getting rid of your furniture.
No.
I mean, that's one of the things that I try to educate my clients on. Go ahead and spend the money.
Yes.
And get a good quality piece of furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And that furniture is going to last you a lifetime.
Yeah.
And then if you get something that is not super trendy, you can always get, if you want to get something trendy, you can always do that in a throw pillow.
Right.
Or an accessory or something yeah. like that. But good quality furniture, mm-hmm. you can keep that a lifetime. You can pass it down. People can repurpose it. I'm a fan of repurposed furniture.
Yeah.
I mean, I love going and looking at really nice, mm-hmm. good quality antiques. I mean, yeah. I know some people don't want to have pre-owned yeah. furniture.
It's kind of weird to me.
But if it's a good quality piece.
You need to like sage it or something because you don't know. Like I was like, I will never like, well, I don't know, like a bed's really weird for me. Like. I don't know. There's just some energetic.
A bed, I think, would be a little strange, but like.
Energetically, it carries some. It can carry something.
But too, like if it's, let's say it's like. Sage it. Let's say it's a chair, like a really nice chair, and you can reupholster it. Like, I like the mix of like those old French mm-hmm. chairs. And then you put like a really cool modern fabric on it, a textile. I love that look. I think it's really nice.
I think it's beautiful, but I still think you should sage it.
Oh. You can get new cushions too. I mean, the only thing that you have is the frame.
Still got to sage it. I'm going to teach you how to sage.
Okay. Oh, I know how to sage. Okay, perfect. I saged my house a while ago. Mm-hmm.
Well, sage that furniture.
Oh, yeah. I went all but around. But I'm sure it's I went all around the house and I had like a, I can't even remember the saying that I was saying now, but I had like a little mantra. Saying that I had a mantra that I was going around with the sage and I had to sage my place.
Hey, I do it all the time. We used to sage my clinic and then I realized that other people were in my building and I was like, man, that's not such a good idea.
Because they're like, what is she doing in there with that?
One of my neighbors came by. She's like, oh, I love sage. I'm like, oh, that's right. Other people are in here with me.
That's funny.
I mean, no one said anything, but I did sage the other day. Well, cool. So
Habits.
Kind of
we digressed on the sage
bit.
Again.
So I guess.
Remember we were talking about the habit stacking?
Oh, yeah. Right. Were you stacking? Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that? Or?
Yeah. So habit stacking is, and if you're trying to change a habit or add a new habit, you take an older habit that you're doing and then you stack that new habit that you want to, or that new behavior that you want to become a habit, mm-hmm. you stack it with that old habit. So for example, like for me, one of my favorite things to do is to, and this has been since COVID, is to grab a cup of coffee, crawl back in my bed and work. For some reason, I just love it. And that's only 2 days a week. But so what I want to do now, because I wasn't doing my core work.
Oh.
And so what I want to do is wake up a few minutes early, because my core work is about 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Do my core work, jump back, take a shower, jump back in the bed and work.
So you associate, you get up, mm-hmm. then you stack on the core work. And then you stack on the next activity.
Well, I stack the core work with my coffee drink.
With your coffee. Okay. Because your coffee is what you do every morning.
It's what I 2 days a week since COVID.
Okay.
And usually I get up and I run or do something mm-hmm. and then I take a shower mm-hmm. and I get ready and I go to mm-hmm. work. But since COVID, we had that lockdown. And so
yeah.
I develop a habit of getting in my bed and drinking coffee, my morning coffee, while I'm a latte to be exact.
Yeah.
A soy latte, and then I love to work. I get stuff done.
Yeah,
you know. So now since I'm not doing my core work, I'm gonna stack my core work. So basically, you're just taking an old habit and stacking a new behavior.
Yeah, something that you're already
doing.
It's a routine, and
yeah.
you tack on a new habit that you're wanting
right.
to do to the beginning or the end or
the
somewhere
end.
In there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's incorporated with that. And then you associate
right.
that together.
Right. You associate that together and then you...
It's kind of like the one that I make my bed. So
yeah.
get up,
yeah.
make my bed, and then
yeah.
I go downstairs and make
right.
my coffee.
Yeah.
Then I come back up and take
yeah.
my shower and
mm-hmm.
get
yeah.
ready and stuff. Another thing that I've been doing in the mornings, I haven't done it every morning, but I really like it. So I want to try to do it as many mornings as I can. And
mm-hmm.
maybe hopefully it will become part of the routine is I have been listening to one of the meditation apps in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I just do a really quick, really short, like 10 minute meditation, but I do something that is positive and empowering, where somebody is saying something for the positive for the day.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that too, because
yeah.
then that's kind of been starting me off, because one of the things that I was doing was grabbing my phone
mm-hmm.
and I was looking at either messages or even the news. And then I told myself, I was like, I don't want to start my day off like this.
Yeah.
Like if I want to do that later on in the day, let me get up and start my day. And because, you know, a lot of the news is negative.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was starting off on a negative foot. So.
Yeah, and you want to start off on a more positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of apps, I don't know which one you listen to, but are you Calm? Are you listening to Heads?
No, the one I listen to is OnSite Timer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm not familiar with that. But there's also Calm, and mm-hmm. there's, but that's more, they're more meditations. So are you doing the meditation or just more like affirmations? Is that?
It's a meditation, but okay. I guess in the meditation, there's affirmations in the meditation.
Oh, that's nice. There's also a couple of apps, since we're talking about apps, of habit apps.
Oh.
Yeah. There's one called Habit Bowl,
uh-huh.
and there's one called Strides.
And what do you just?
I haven't really around with them. I found them because Habit Bowl, his name is Michael Gervais, and uh-huh. he is a sports psychologist that I really enjoy listening to. And he talks about it. It's his Habit Bowl.
Oh, I have to check those out.
His app. Yeah. I'm also doing he has a course that I decided to do, but he's a sports psychologist and he's a performance coach.
Okay.
So anyways, that's it. So I haven't checked it out. Yeah. So I don't know what it's about, but I was like, oh, how cool. We're about to talk about habits.
Yeah. Right. It's funny how all of a sudden you were going to talk about habits and all these things.
Just fall into place.
I guess we're just more hypersensitive to it or something. I don't know. Yeah. It's weird how that happens.
Like, perfect. But unfortunately I haven't checked it out. So,
well, we'll check it out.
We'll check it out. Okay. Yeah. And then I think for me, and I think we're probably at a good place to stop, but I think for me, I would like to, from a health coach and wellness coach, would like to say that, you know, if you want to change or make, you know, change a behavior and make it a habit or
uh-huh.
a behavior, a habit. No, I have a hard time getting that out. I think the one thing is, I do think is having a destination or a goal, like, or a reason why you want to change this. Yeah. And then assessing, right? Like assessing, is this change good for you? Mm-hmm. You know, is it a realistic change for mm-hmm. you? And then, you know, and then going from there with the process, you know, like trying to figure out how that will work for you. You know, I guess in the small step, like what's one small step that you can take to get you? And I think I like the destination and the goals because it gives you a place, it gives you a light on where you're going.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Or it gives you a map on where you're going. If you're just, you know, if you just start driving wherever with no destination, you're just kind of
goals are great. Just think, mm-hmm. you know, when they talk about in the book is like, just don't set your goal. Don't focus so much or worry yourself so much about that goal. Think more about the process and how you go about it.
Those small steps.
Automatically get to that goal that you want.
Yeah. So it's not that they not to have it.
Yeah.
It's just,
oh, no,
it's
still
just,
have
it's
the
still,
goal.
But
yeah.
focus on those small steps that get you to that goal. Yeah.
yeah.
So yeah. And then, again, I'm going to steal this for Michael Gervais, but he talks about when you do these small things, celebrate.
Yes, definitely.
You know? And
he says,
celebrate like a wild person, you know, like it's those small things. And he's like, you need to do that. So I thought that was really cool. So I think I will leave kind of our listeners with that from my perspective. So,
yeah. And I will say that I'm glad you mentioned that mm-hmm. because I do think that that's really important. And I think I've talked about this before, but I have a interior design business coach
mm-hmm.
and it has been one of the best decisions that I've made. And one of the things that we talk about in our coaching and also in our group is mm-hmm. we always celebrate mm-hmm. our accomplishments.
Small and big.
It does not have to be anything big. Everybody is given a chance to say something in our mm-hmm. meetings, and we always start it off with something positive.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be anything. It could be that, oh my gosh, I, you know, made this awesome smoothie today, or, you know, I went outside and spent some time in the sunshine and it was great. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever it is, but celebrate that. Yeah. Even the little things, like little accomplishments, like let's say you got through the day and you made your bed and that was the one thing that you accomplished.
Celebrate.
Hey, celebrate.
Celebrate.
You know, pop open a bottle of Prosecco and and have a dance party.
No, I like it. Yeah. I think it's important to acknowledge your accomplishments.
Yeah.
And I think so many people don't, you know,
That's
I
true.
Mean, they have to acknowledge the really big things mm-hmm. and they don't acknowledge the small things that they do you know, throughout the day, or even the small things they do to get to somewhere big, right?
Right.
And I know he, Michael Gervais talks about it, and he says his example was if you were trying to like run, like if you want to go run the next day,
uh-huh.
he goes, take your running shoes and put them by the door and celebrate like a wild person. Like, woohoo, I did it. Woo-hoo,
yeah.
They're
yeah.
at the door. I'm on my way. I don't know. So I was like,
I'm going to try that.
So, you know, but I think that even smaller, you know, like celebrating
yes.
those to get you excited about the habit that you want to change too, right?
That's true.
So I'm sure that's how he meant it, but that's how I'm.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
but
I think that's great.
But yeah, so celebrate.
So definitely celebrate your accomplishments, whether they are large or small.
Or to
so
get you
make
motiv-
sure to
yeah, or to get you motivated. To,
exactly to get
yeah.
you motivated, and then that's going to make you want to do more.
Yeah.
And that's going to make you want to accomplish more.
Yeah.
It's maybe even going to make you want to add other healthy, you know, habits to
mm-hmm.
your list. I think that it
mm-hmm.
compounds on top of each other. And you start wanting to do like, okay, well, now I cleaned my closet. Well, now I'm going to move on to that other closet, or I'm going to move on
you feel accomplished.
To everything
yeah.
under the bed. Once you accomplish one thing, then it makes you start wanting to do more things.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you celebrate that, then it's going to make you want to have
mm-hmm.
more rewards. So yeah, I think that's a great way to end it.
I think it's perfect.
All right. Well,
all right.
Thanks everyone.
Thank
and
you.
We'll talk to you next time.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Join us every other week for a new episode. Go to your favorite podcast platform and subscribe to us so you don't miss out on any new episodes. And please share our podcast with your family and friends. If you like what you hear, please give us 5 stars and a positive review. It will greatly help our rating and success of the podcast.
You can also keep up with us on Instagram and Facebook at Health Dwellness. To find out more information, visit our website at healthdwellness.com. We welcome your input. If you have any ideas, comments, or questions, you can email us at healthanddwellness@gmail.com.